This morning, I am excited about getting this series started. We are going to go on a seven-week journey, starting off today. The sermon is called Living a Spirit-Controlled, Spirit-Filled Life. And being led by the Spirit leads us into mission, into a specific call. Being a Christian isn't about fighting your own battles. When we are born again, there is a mandate that is placed on our lives to carry the light of Christ everywhere we go. That's Jesus' great commission that he gave us before he ascended up into heaven right in front of his disciples when he told us to go to make disciples, to teach them to obey my commandments, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you when you do it. And so we are called to be on a mission. We are not called just to get over the hump. We are on a mission. And when we are on a mission, that is specific. It is deliberate. It is on purpose. And everything we do in life is to accommodate the mission. And the only way we can do that is being controlled and led and filled by the Holy Spirit himself. Jesus said, I must go in order that, if you can cue that video up, in order that the Holy Spirit may come. And when he comes, he's going to endue you with power. Everybody say power. You know, I have a power drill at the house. It's a DeWalt. How many of you guys have a DeWalt drill? I love the thing, right? And I love it because there's a lot of power in it. And you can take that thing, put it on a screw, and just screw it into the wall, into the pavement, concrete, whatever. It has power to do the job. But you take that battery out, and what happens? It's useless, right? It has all the functions of a power tool, but it has no power whatsoever. And a lot of believers are walking this earth not connected to the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. We got all the tools, we look the part, but we have no power. And today I want to connect you with that power. Today I want us to be reminded that our life can be more than just getting over the hump. God has not called us all the time to be led by still waters. Sometimes it's choppy waters. Sometimes it's devastating waters. But those waters are meant to give us power and to stretch us in our faith. And today we're going to go on a journey. And I want to start by giving you this, showing you this video of what's to come in the weeks ahead. That is the question today. Will you follow? The question today is, are you ready for the mission? Now, some of you guys may be wondering why we have chairs over here. And the answer to that question is this. From now all the way leading up to, my mind is already thinking about Easter, all right? It's February. This is where my mind goes, okay? But here's the thing. At New Freedom Church, we have new people coming in all the time. And I love that. I've been introduced to a few people in here that have not been here before. And it's like that every single Sunday. And I'm so thankful for that. And the mission is about encouraging people at your work, encouraging people in your house, your family. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to be that light to your family. You don't have to go to Haiti to shed the light. We are supposed to go. There's a time and place for missions and to go abroad. But our mission field is right in our living rooms. Our mission field is in our homes. Our mission field is at work. Our mission field is at the grocery store. Wherever you go, you carry the light of Christ. And your mission, if you choose to accept it, is this. I want to encourage each and every one of you to be inviting people to New Freedom Church starting this week. A lot of you guys are already active in doing that, and I want to encourage you guys to continue to do that. And so these chairs represent your family members. These chairs represent the mission, the call. Will you be a part of somebody else's faith story? Will you be a part of that? I love the fact that I am part of a lot of people's faith story, not because I'm a pastor, but because I took a little time out at Walmart to pray over somebody and lead them to Christ. Or at the barbershop, took time out to pray over them because of cancer, or took time out somewhere or on a phone call and was able to lead people to Christ. Not because I'm an ordained minister, but because I'm a believer. You see, I am a lot of other things before I'm a minister. Okay? I am a lover of Christ, first and foremost. I love my wife. I love my kids. And then I'm a pastor. That's like number four. And so before I'm a pastor, I'm a believer. And I know that I have a mission. Long before I preached my first sermon, I was talking to people about Jesus, and I was doing it afraid. And a lot of them knew more than I did, and not every time when I talked to somebody did they come to Christ, but at least I was sharing my faith about what God has done for me. And so I want to encourage you, I don't want to wait till Easter for you to begin to invite people to come to church. I want you guys to start this week. I want to encourage you guys to bring somebody with you this coming Sunday. This 7 weeks, I want to encourage you to be up front, in person, about inviting people to church, sharing your faith, being part of the mission. And some of you guys are trembling right now. Some of you guys' sweat is literally going down your back right now because you're like, I can't do this. But being linked by the power of the Spirit will cause you to do things that you never thought you would be able to do. And not only that, you won't have to seek them out. God will bring them to you. I love that about God, that He just meets us where we're at. You're too afraid to do that? Okay, I'm going to bring them to you. And I want you to speak encouragement and life into them. So for the next 7 weeks, I want you to be upfront with your faith. Those people that you've been praying about, bring them to church with you. Pray for them. Encourage them. These seats represent your family members, your friends, your co-workers. And so here's what we're going to do. I've never done this before. It's a little bit corny, I know, okay? But here we go. At the end of February, when you bring people in and you go and you have them sign the connection card so that we can connect with them, so that I can talk to them. How many of you guys, you have talked to me on the phone because of the connection card you filled out? Raise your hand. Or you got emails, you got phone calls. Yep. How many of you guys, after I left you a message, called me back? It's even, yep, there we go. See? That's the pastor. I don't think I'm calling him back. He's nice and all, but I don't know if I'm going to call him back. So, but it's all to connect. And so every guest that you bring and you sign them up back there and get them signed up, at the end of the month, I'm going to tally those up. And whoever has brought the most guests, I'm giving a $100 gift card. $100 gift card. Is that paying somebody to go to church? I don't know if it is or not. But here's what I'm doing. I'm just throwing gasoline onto the fire this morning. Because I've come back from Tennessee, and God has really put a fire inside of me. And I'm excited about what is next for New Freedom Church. And at the end of this 7-week series, we're going to be talking about the future of our church. We've been working with an architect, and we have narrowed it down to some final drawings, and I'm excited to show them to you. And I'm going to invite you to come along on this faith journey with us. And the drawings are amazing. We hope we'll have it up on the screens for you at the end. But God is stirring in my heart, and because of it, it's stirring in our church, and I am excited about these next 7 weeks. Are you guys with me? You ready to go on this journey this morning? A few of you over here are. Pastor Johnny, are you excited about this journey you're about to go on with me, brother? All right, let's get excited about what God is doing. Amen? Some of you guys are still thinking. Yeah, go ahead. Some of you guys are still thinking, he asked me to invite somebody to church. That's all I heard. Yes, I did. And here I'm going to give you the tools to accomplish the task. Not just invite somebody, but that God would use you in a mighty way to speak life into other people. Are you ready for that this morning? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the power of your word. It causes us to do things that we would never ordinarily do, but by your Spirit, you have called us to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask of. And so today, we choose to be open to the call and to be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, help me say it this morning. Amen. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. This is what the scripture says. In accordance with living a spirit-filled, spirit-controlled life. Galatians 5, 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That is pretty simple. All right, being led by the Spirit is not a new thing. It's not something the church, this new idea, this new concept. Being led by the Spirit was part of the inception of the church. The disciples were led by Jesus himself, right? They didn't have to be led by the Spirit. They were led by the man himself. But Jesus said, I must go away in order that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, may come. And this Comforter is not somebody that comes along and just pats you on the back and comforts you. The Comforter is the Spirit of God who gives you power, an endowment of power. The word endowment means that it's being placed on you in abundance, purposefully. Dripping and overflowing, the Holy Spirit has been given to us, not in little bitty measures, but in overflowing abundance. Matthew 4:1 tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In Acts 20, verse 22, Paul says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Being led by the Spirit means that you expressly accept not knowing everything. And trusting that where he is leading you, he is going to glorify you there, and it's for your good. We have this insatiable appetite that we have got to know everything before we make a move. right? We want to read the, look, we don't read the user agreements on our cell phones when we sign up for them. But yet somehow we want to read the fine print when God tells us to do something. And we want to read every legal document there is because we want to find that loophole in case it gets too hot, I get to get out. And so we read the fine print. But here's the thing. We don't have to know everything. When God calls us, our job at that moment is to say yes. And after that, hold on, because he's going to endue you with power to do that which he has called you to do. And if we are not spirit controlled, we will miss out on what God is doing in our lives. There is no reason a believer should have a mundane, ordinary, ho-hum, fit-in life. A believer should be that rock in the middle of the stream that everybody has to go around because his life sticks out. His influence affects the flow of nature, inflects the flow of our family and our culture. Not because of who we are, but because of the light that is within us. We are the carriers of that light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He did not say that about himself. He said, "You are the light of the world." Do you carry around in you the light of Christ? My light I have given to you. And that light is being fueled not by your efforts, not by your good deeds, not by your attendance on Sundays, not by your giving, but it is fueled by my Spirit. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it." It does not say, "Pastor Jimmy's going to build my church." Thank God. I mess up all the time. I make wrong decisions all the time. But Jesus is the one that died for his church. It is his beloved. It is the apple of his eye. It is his bride. And so because of that, he's going to endue us with power and cause us to not live ordinary lives, that we are bored all the time, that we're trying to figure out what to do with our time. We're trying to figure out, how do I use the giftings that God has given me? When we are led by the Spirit of God, we have a mandate and a mission. And that means that we are no longer captains of the ship. He is. We are not co-pilots. We're the ones, when he says row, we row. Amen? They have no opinion. Look, the power tool I was talking about has no opinion. It goes wherever I tell it to go. It serves wherever I point it to serve. It drills wherever I point it to drill. It does the work of its master, me. Right? It has no opinion about what it's doing. And as believers, we are born again. We are. The Bible says that we are dead men walking. You ever heard of a dead person have an opinion? Never. You know why? Because they're gone. Their fight is over. They're gone. All of their decision making is done. But we here on earth have died to ourselves, and the Spirit of God now lives within us, controls us wherever we go. And don't assume either that a Spirit-led life means, and I alluded to it just a minute ago, means we will always be led by still waters. Notice Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to meet who? The devil. To face the devil, not to debate him, but to be tempted by him. And Jesus was not eating for 40 days. You ever done that before? Man, I'd be gnawing on rocks at that point. As a matter of fact, the devil even said, "If you're hungry," what a dumb question. see that rock right there? Why don't you just turn that into, I would have finished his sentence for him. I'd have done it. But Jesus didn't come at him with his fists. He didn't come at him with his talent. He didn't throw money at the situation. He came at the enemy with the word of God. He said, it is written, man will not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. You see, in order to be spirit-led, we've got to know this, that we've got to know the word of God that is the word of prophecy. It is full of the Spirit. The Bible is living and active. It is activated and made alive by the Word of God, the Spirit of God. If you want a prophetic word, open your Bibles. It will speak prophetically to you every single time you open it up. Amen? And so don't think that just because we are being led by the Spirit that He's going to lead us beside still waters. Paul said, I'm compelled by the Spirit, and I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I know what happened to him when he went to Jerusalem. He was put in prison. He was beaten within an inch of his life. And ultimately killed for his faith. But he was compelled by the Spirit to go. No matter what that meant, whether it meant his life, whether it meant his treasure, whether it meant his time in jail, he was compelled by the Spirit to go. Not all the time when we're led by the Spirit is he going to bring us beside still waters. Sometimes when we're led by the Spirit of God, he's going to bring us into situations that are chaotic, that are terrifying, that are sad, that are overwhelming. But the Spirit that lives inside of you will be that rock in the middle of that stream that will affect the situation, not because of who you are, but because of what resides within you. That you are led by the Spirit of God. And because of that, that room is different when you walk in. That situation is no longer chaotic. When we were supposed to freak out and join the party, there is a peace that surpasses understanding in order that we can pray, in order that we can encourage, in order that we... I thank God that whenever I pray and I am desperate and I feel like that and I jump into that to that ditch of despair, Jesus doesn't get down in that ditch with me and suck his thumb along with me. But he is that steady, constant rock in my life that reaches down like Peter when he was sinking in the water, reaches down and brings me back up. That is the power that resides in you. It isn't a class you've got to take. It's not about being confirmed. It's not about your attendance. It's not about how much you know. It's the Spirit of God within you that affects everyone around you. It's not about how old you are. It's not about whether you're male or female or how long you've been walking with Christ. I know people that have been walking with Christ or close to Christ for 30 years and has no joy. But I know brand new believers who are affecting their family for the cause of Christ. Not saying it right all the time, but letting their light shine within them, allowing the Holy Spirit to empower them to be a blessing to their families. We forget that sometimes. So here's the question. If the Bible makes it clear that being controlled by the Spirit is so vital, what prevents so many of us from fully surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading? I'm going to give you the simple answer, and it's going to blow your mind. Are you ready? Lean into me a little bit. Here we go. Because we prefer to be in control. Boy, I could just preach for an hour right there. We prefer to do the driving. We prefer to navigate ourselves. We prefer to put our hands on the wheel. We prefer our own understanding. We prefer to work in our own resources and our own pool of talent. Why? Because we know it. At least we know the limits. At least we know what we can and can't do. At least we know where our mental capacity can take us. At least we know where our talents can take us, where our degree can provide for us. At least we know the parameters of me. And so because of that, I love to control. A lot of us aren't being led by the Spirit of God because we haven't allowed Him to have access to download His Spirit within ourselves, to not just get over our problems, to not just fix our marriage, not just heal our bodies, to not just comfort us when we mourn, but to cause us to be more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. Amen? It's not about getting over our problems. We have a mission. We have a mandate. We are ambassadors for Christ. That means that we do not have an agenda. We go into a community with His agenda and not our own. Amen? Why? Because we are dead men walking, full of the Spirit of God, ready to give out at His command. Amen? Being led of the Spirit is not for the weak at heart. God will put you in situations and He won't say sink or swim. He will say stand, because I'm about to do something in your life right now, right here. I love that about the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that I get up every day and I'm this Superman of faith and I don't do that. I got my preaching tie on today, okay? But I'm not saying I get up every day and I feel that way. I've been sick for a month. My life since the middle of December has been absolute chaos. But the one thing I have felt through it all is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to comfort my mother. Sometimes that's where the Spirit of God leads us. It's not to the nations, it's to our mother. It's not to the nations, it's to our father. It's not to the nations, it's to our spouse, to our child, to our co-worker. We think, God, use us for the nations, use our mouthpiece for the nations. But first of all, be willing to speak peace over your mother. Be willing to speak peace over your family. Be willing to pray over your children. Be willing to pray at work. Be willing to speak my name at Walmart. Be willing to raise your hands at church. Be willing to come to the altar and receive me first. See, we despise the small things. We say that we don't, but we do. I said this in the conference that I was teaching at yesterday, is that we love to compare. We love to compare giftings. Well, if I can't sing like Dana, or if I can't play like Rochelle, if I can't play the drums or whatever it is, then what, God, you've given me this gift and it is not up in front, and so I'm not even going to do it. We despise the giftings and callings of God in our lives because we're comparing it to somebody else's. Stop doing that. Value what God has given you and use it to the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you clean house and it is absolutely amazing that you can clean house and you know that your neighbor is sick, go and clean their house. I have a next door neighbor that I got a text on the way back during the whole polar vortex thing, and I knew that there was a bunch of snow that dumped on my driveway while I was gone. And Joe came over and he helped out and shoveled as well. Joe, are you an expert at shoveling snow? Like, do you have a license to? We all should be experts at shoveling snow, right? And so I get this text, and it's we've been traveling about 13 hours at this time, and wind is blowing 40 miles per hour across the road along with snow, can't see the lines. And I get this text from my next door neighbor, and he goes, "Hey, I just want you to know that I noticed you've been gone, and I'm not quite sure what's going on with your family, but I'm praying for you, and I snowblowed your driveway for you, and I salted it so you don't have to worry about it. Drive right into your garage. Everything is okay." That man is a believer, but he was Spirit-led in what he did. He was exercising and moving in the Spirit of God as he shoveled and snowblowed my driveway and throwing salt on the pavement. He was walking by the Spirit. Whatever God has given you, whatever need that you see, if it's slinging salt or shoveling snow, do it for the glory of God and watch what the Holy Spirit does in your life. Amen? And the irony of a Spirit-filled living is that we have to give up power in order to gain a greater power. How many times in our Christian walk have we come to a place where we struggle to do something, so we just try harder, right? We just try harder. We try to do it in all of our strength, but God said it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Christianity isn't a self-effort religion, but rather one of dead men that have died to themselves and are now under the influence and leading of the risen Christ. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God who works in you," point to yourself, "for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose." It's not about your giftings. It's not about your talents. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. The Spirit is the only one who can produce self-discipline, love, and boldness. But to do so, he has to have full control of us daily. He's got to be working through submitted vessels in order that he can do what it is he wants to do in your lives, to be led by the Spirit of God. The last thing is, so what do we do to continue to be led by the Spirit of God? What do we need to do? 2 Timothy tells us this. 2 Timothy 6:1-7 says this, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." This is Paul talking to Timothy. It's not his son, but it's his spiritual son. He's raising him up. He said, For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Who does that? The Spirit of God does that. How many of you guys have fireplaces? You go camping, make fire, right? There's a fire right there, and in order to keep that fire going, you've got to stoke it, right? And you got to feed it. You can't just let a fire go off to itself. A fire in its proper place is useful. But if I start a fire in my living room floor, that's not a good thing. Right? But if I take that stoker right beside my fireplace, and as I see the fire dimming down, I go over to it and I move those logs around and I shift the logs in order that it creates embers. And all of a sudden, flames begin to burn again. And then to top it off, I take another log and I put it on there for good measure to keep the fire going. And a lot of us are relying upon our salvation conversion to get us through for everything. And listen, salvation is the beginning of the story. It's not the end. There is dunamis power. that is available for all believers if we'll call on the name of the Lord. If we'll be about the mission, to be about the call that he has given to us. And Paul is encouraging his young, Timothy? His young disciple, I guess. He said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power. It gives us love and self-discipline." Would you stand with me this morning? I thank God for my walk with Christ. I thank God that I met him one day. I wasn't looking for him, but he found me. Somebody in the that attends New Freedom now, last year when we had the 3 feet of snow, we went out and dug them out, and they saw a Facebook thread, and they didn't go to our church at the time, and it was Gary and Jenny Slatt. Gary just passed away. And I heard Jenny, she was back there talking to somebody, and they were introducing themselves to one another, and Jenny, she was talking to, but they said, "Thank you so much for coming. Glad that you found us." And she said, "I've been to a lot of churches, but this is the first church that found me." I'm going to be honest with you, all the buttons on my shirt popped off at that moment. That's powerful. Why? Because Pastor Johnny and I saw a thread down there, "Hey, we don't go to your church, but we need help getting out." So we went down and took 30 minutes to shovel them out, but we did it. Man, God does a lot through shoveling driveways. And so, being led of the Spirit isn't about how much we can do, or how much brawn we have, or how much intellect that we have. But it's about being led of the Spirit, being yielded of our own will, and say, "Father, not my will, but your will be done. Not my plans for my life, but your plans for my life. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission that you have called me to do." Pastor Johnny alluded to it earlier when he said, "When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ and all of my works are laid bare and God is reading all of my works, I don't want to have regret. I don't want to have regret. I don't want to waste one day squandering it in fear, contemplating, second-guessing myself. I want to live mightily by the Spirit of God. I want to be led by the Spirit of God so that my life is controlled and led by His Spirit." Amen? So would you bow your heads with me this morning? Today, unashamedly, I ask and I plead that if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, make today the beginning of your mission. Make today the day that you can put on your calendar and say, "I was born again. That I know my worth. I have found my worth today. All my striving is done." If you say, "Pastor, I want to receive Christ today," would you raise your hand as high as you possibly could get it and say, "That's me. I want Christ today." Would you raise your hand just as high as you possibly can get it? Unashamed. Today is the day. "Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life today. I'm just going to wait a minute." Man, if you're struggling, you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He's calling you. He's calling him to, calling you to himself. Make today the day you've known him as Lord and Savior. If you have to just raise your hand high as you can. Like a kid that knows the answer in the back of the room. Ooh, that's me. I need you, Lord. If you say today, Pastor, I know Christ, but everything about my life is ordinary. And the reason why is because I have been unwilling to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit that is available to me. And today, that ends. Today, I give up. Today, I lay my will down, and I choose to be led by the Spirit of God. If that's you, would you raise your hand as high as you possibly could get it? Come on. Come on. Today is the day of decision. Today is the day that we leave ordinary behind, that we leave predictability behind, and we say, not my will, but your will be done in my life. Today, I'm done with my own way. Today, I give up the argument. Today, I leave the ordinary behind, and I accept the extraordinary by His Spirit. Come on. If that's you, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. I'm going to release the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life right now through your willingness and your obedience. Church, would you all let's all raise our hands this morning. I am going to pray over you and pronounce a blessing upon you. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life today, that you would leave the ordinary behind, and today you receive the extraordinary leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, today, with the calling that you have placed on my life, with the mantle that you have put on my life, like Elijah did with Elisha as he was going up to heaven and threw down his mantle upon Elisha, I now do that to every hand that is raised in this room. God, may your mantle and the power of your Holy Spirit be upon each and every raised hand, upon each and every yielded heart in this place right now. May they be empowered. May they be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission that you have called all of us to do. May our spirit be so sensitive to the hurting around us. May our spirit be so sensitive to the need around us that we are compelled to meet the need, to pray, to do things we would never have done ever before. Today starts today of the miraculous. Lord, I give up the still waters. Put me in the thick of things. Help me to be that rock in the stream that affects the whole flow of everything. God, if there is one person to comfort today, let it be me. I beg you, let it be me. If there's one person that needs a hug today, let it be me. I want to do it. Put me in. Because I feel the leading and the power and the endowment of the Holy Spirit on my life. And so today I give up the ordinary. I give up my will. I give up my way. I give up predictability to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask that you would give me strength and courage to invite my family to church so that they can hear the good news, so that they can experience this Spirit-led life that I have today. God, open a window this week to share the gospel with one of my coworkers when they ask me, why, what's the difference in your life? Man, I got to have what you have. Give us opportunities this week to be a blessing, to be led by the Spirit of God. And when we do it, Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise in the name of Jesus. Lord, as a church, would you lead us in these 7 weeks to understand the mission and to operate as one to glorify your name and to bring whosoever will in so that they may know the way, the truth, and the life. So, Father, we pray over those loved ones that are going to be, that are going to come to Christ over these next 7 weeks. God, we ask that you would just begin to deal with their hearts now, Lord, that before they were not open to hearing about Jesus, that they were hostile about the things of God, and now they're calling me, asking me, begging me, pleading with me to pray with them. Ready me, Father, to be that rock in the stream, to affect my family, to affect my coworkers. I am willing today, in Jesus' name, by your Spirit, not by my might, nor by my power, but by your Spirit, I will do these things to your glory, to your pleasure, to your satisfaction. My life is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give God the craziest hand clap of praise? Amen. Hallelujah. And do you know that Spirit-led people worship differently? Know that? They read differently. They interact differently because of the Spirit of God inside of them. Today, I dismiss you to go and be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. If you are a visitor here today, stop by the guest services and sign up on that connection thing. If you see a Tennessee number calling you, it's not a solicitation. It's me. All right? Just me. And so also, if you want to give into the Haiti missions trip, Randy is back there with the offering bucket. Throw some money in that bucket so that we can bless this pastor that they're going to bless this coming week. All right? God bless you guys. You are dismissed.